All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. Say hello to everyone who's listening or watching in on Skype. I hope you're having a good Sabbath day. Hope everyone had a spiritually rewarding day's unleavened bread. I'll probably get into this a little bit more, but I'm pretty sure I ate leaven this time. So I broke a streak. I don't know how long it was, but the worst thing I ever did was years ago in college, when I had an after-school job, and one of the perks was we had it was an after-school job for the kids, and so I would handle the kindergartners, and they would get out of school about noon, so there was always lunch. We had a cook, and so he was always really good. Once he liked you, he would always save you some lunch, and especially as a college student, that was always free lunch every day was a good thing. And I remember one day coming in and like, all right, yellow cake. This is a good day. And about halfway through the piece, it dawned on me. It's like, oh, days of loving bread. So, but I've never eaten a Subway sandwich, so nothing is as bad as a Subway sandwich being eaten. So, if someone asked you for a theme for the last several weeks, what would you say? I would think if you had a chance to think about it, that that your theme for the last several weeks would be sin. Because for the last several weeks, that's really what we've been thinking about. It began weeks ago as we began an examination period, and during that time when we were examining ourselves, looking for sin in our life. We observed Passover, where we came face to face with sin, and the reality that because of our personal sins, Jesus had to die. It wasn't because of the disciples' faults and people in the Old Testament. No, it was because of our own sin, Jesus had to die. And then last week, we've been physically observing the days of unleavened bread, focusing on, again, removing sin from our life. So sin has been our theme. If you haven't figured it out already, sin is very popular in our world, especially in our culture, but in general. And not just now, but since the beginning, since Adam and Eve, sin has been very popular. Our world is continually finding ways to create new sin, market sin, sell sin, and of course just committing it at any given time is very popular. We can see on the news of nations, entire nations that are just destroyed and are in ruins because of sin. And we all know families and we know individuals whose lives have been ruined because of sin. And even though sin is so bad and it's clearly seen, why is there so much sin? Why is sin so prominent? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's lay the foundation here. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 and 10. We've read these verses many times, but I think it's important, again, to be reminded. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, notice this verse doesn't say, just certain type of people's heart, just Gentile hearts, just those who don't keep the Sabbath hearts, doesn't say that. It says the heart is deceitful above all things, and that God searches each individual heart. And so we have to come, and as we do over these last several weeks, we have to come to admit that we too are sinners. We too are, as scripture, and we'll turn here, we are slaves to sin. Let's go to John 8. Let's look at that verse. John 8. John 8, verse 34. It says, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And again, there's no distinguishing characteristics in that verse. Again, it's not just like, well, if you're this particular type. It just says, if you commit sin, you're a slave of sin. And so that means we all are slaves to sin, because we've all sinned. And so again, we have to first admit that and come to grips with that. And that is the advantage of these last few weeks, because God every year gives us a time to remember that and go over that again. And so we can remind ourselves that, you know, even though, and this is the dangerous part, because we live in such a messed up world. And so it's so easy for us to compare ourselves to what we see out in the world and feel really good about ourselves. But the only difference between us and the world is we understand that we're a slave to sin. And that we understand that we have problems and things that we need to work on and that we want to. Because again, Romans, we won't turn there, but Romans 3:23 again says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that is the main difference between us and the world and why we are not in the same boat as the rest of the world, because we are actively trying to remove sin. We don't want to be a slave to sin. And that's what makes us different. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Turning to several verses here early on again, just to kind of lay the foundation for what we'll discuss. Romans 6, and let's start in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. And again, we did that. We remembered that on Passover. That the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. Again, that terminology, slaves of sin. Verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? And again, this is again, and we live in a world that every, you know, majority of the world thinks everything's in the gray, right? There is no standard. There's no right, there's wrong, there's only, does it make you feel good? As long as it makes you feel good, it's okay. As long as you're not hurting someone else, and it's okay, right? I mean, the biggest, really the only sin in the world nowadays is, you know, hurting someone else or making someone else feel bad. You know, that's the world's definition of sin. But no, God is very clear. It's one or the other. Are we going to be a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness? Continuing in verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And so we know that that is what we are working towards, right? We want to be set free from sin. We want to be a slave to God. We want to be a slave to righteousness. And that is what is so different about us. And that is what is so meaningful about these days and these last few weeks that we've went through. Because God has given us an opportunity to think about these things. And that is what is really so important about the holy days. And Mr. Moore talked about this on the first holy day. Of the main reason that God instituted these is because God said, this is how I want you to learn about me. This is how I want you to know who I am. You know, not your own things. You know, I want you to follow my guidelines and learn how I want you to do things. And so as God created these days and he gives us all of these different physical things to do, it's not that we just have, not that there's this, you know, the checklist, you know, that God says, okay, well, you know, Matthew, you know, he observed the days of unleavened bread, check mark. Well, he ate something, so that's half a check mark gone. You know, oh, well, he's at church, you know, most of the time, check mark. And that's not how it works, right? God is looking at our heart. And within that, he gives us these opportunities to remember all these things that he wants us to learn. And again, that's what these last few weeks have been about. We've done so many physical tasks that have had or should have had spiritual lessons to it. So that's what I want to actually spend my time today talking about. I want to relive and review these last several weeks, last 4 to 6 weeks. I want to go over them again, kind of review the physical things that we did, and then what is the spiritual lesson that we can take from it. And not that we can just take from it today and be like, okay, well, I've accomplished that, and, you know, next year I'll think about it again. No, we should take these lessons, and then they should be, you know, we should live them and execute them each and every day of our life, 24/7, 365 days a year. That's what the purpose behind this is, not just to check mark and move on, but to actually learn and then apply it. So let's review. Let's review and what we've done here over the last several weeks. So several weeks ago, we started what we term the examination period. And while we were doing that, you know, we were examining our lives, but we were also preparing, and especially probably more for the ladies, preparing how am I going to de-leaven my house, right? Because after a year comes up, there's a lot of stuff going on. I don't have it very hard. Betsy has me and the kids. We vacuum the couches and take care of the cars. So that's not a lot. But even in my world, I'm still creating a plan for that. Okay, I think on this day I'm going to do this, and so we create a plan. We realize the days are coming up, and we create a plan. And so that's the first important step is if we're going to remove sin from our life, we have to create a plan, a spiritual plan for that, because it doesn't just happen. Right? We can't just say, okay, I don't want to be a slave to sin anymore. I'm going to be a slave to God. Snap my fingers and magically it happened. That's not how it happens when we want to clean our house or vacuum our cars. It doesn't just magically happen. So the first thing we actually physically did is we created a plan. We created a de-leavening plan for our property. We need to do that with our lives when it comes to sin. Create a plan. Because again, each one of us is different. Right? What tempts me doesn't tempt you. What tempts you doesn't tempt me and all around. So we all have to look inside of ourselves, admit what the problems we have, and then we have to create a plan to attack that. And that's going to look different for everybody. But the point is, we have to have a plan. It's not just going to magically happen. Right? The house didn't just get de-leavened just because we knew the days of leavened bread was coming up and we thought about it. A physical action and work took place, which is the next thing. So once, several weeks ago, as we began examination, we began creating a plan, then you began to execute that plan. And you started to clean the house out, and you cleaned the cars out, and you did all these different things. You physically put the work in, you put the effort in. And while you were doing that, while we did that, we learned some important things about leaven. We learned that we have a lot of leaven in our houses, right? Every year, I'm always amazed by that of how many different things have leaven that you didn't think about and where it hides and how did it get it hit in these places. So I was cleaning the car out. And I looked at, you know, I had vacuumed out Joe's car seat, the outside part. And I got to think, okay, this looks pretty good, right? It's clean. But I thought, well, maybe I should take it out. I mean, you know, maybe some things in the cup hold or whatever. So I took it out and I turned it upside down and I started shaking. I think he had like an entire box of, you know, the little fish crackers in there, and there were, inside of it. You couldn't physically see this from the outside. From the outside, it looked vacuumed and nice and pretty. But inside, underneath all that material and cloth, there was leaven everywhere. And I just shook it out. I think the birds, it was on the driveway, so the birds, I think, had a nice snack that day. Because later on the day when I came back out, it was all gone. So somebody came to get it. But there was a lot of stuff in there, a lot of leaven. So again, we learned that. And what we learned during this time is, again, you know, we can appear to be really clean on the outside, right? Especially in this setting. You know, church is the most dangerous setting because we all look, we have our, you know, nice best suit on, nice dress, we're always smiling, we have a polite voice on. But it's easy to hide what's really inside. So the only way we're going to actually get in and see where the sin is we're going to have to, like, go and, you know, bang ourselves on the ground and loosen stuff and see what's really inside of us. And so we learn that, and that's important. We learn that we have to handle sin in the same way, right? We have to, if we see it, we have to remove it. No matter how small or incidental that piece of leaven is in the house, if we physically saw it, we got rid of it, right? I mean, it wasn't like, that box of cookies is half eaten, it's okay. We'll leave it there. Not a big deal. No, we would never do that. So do we do that with our life when we see sin? But that's how I am. You know, God will understand. I think that's mankind's has always said that. Well, God will understand. No, God has rules. God has standards. And he wants us to again, execute those things. So just as we don't take any leaven for granted, if we see it, we get rid of it. We have to do that with our life as well. So we learned that during that time frame of actually de-leavening the house. So now we go to the next step, and that next step has been this last 7 days, right? We de-leaven the house, we go through Passover, we understand the sacrifice, and then we actually physically go through these 7 days of not eating anything with leaven, I guess doing our best not to eat anything with leaven, not buying it, not bringing it into our homes, and we physically go through that process. We learn a lot during these last 7 days. During these days, I don't know if it's just me, but how many of you are convinced that there's more pizza commercials on during this 7 days than any other time of the year? Pizza Hut buys, you know, a bunch of ads. Or Dunkin' Donuts. They didn't even know there was Dunkin' Donuts until this week, and they're all over the place in advertising. Or hamburger, or whatever it may be. I suspect them, the commercials are the same, but we're just more attuned to it, right? Because we're thinking about leaven, and we're thinking about avoiding it. And we're doing our best to stay away from it. So we're more attuned to that. But we see it in the world, right? I mean, it's all over the place. You know, like this week, I went into one of the doctor's lounges, and over the years, one of the things I guess I'll miss as I'll have to learn is because I always learn where the doctor's lounges are that have lunch, that don't, that have snacks, you know, and so all the years I know, you know, oh, I'm hungry. I mean, you go into here and grab something. But I was in one of the hospitals, and they're notorious. They don't ever have anything. And I think Mrs. Baird's truck blew up in there this week because I walked in there, and there was every sort of like Mrs. Baird's yummy-looking little treat that you could imagine. They even had the little boxed apple pies, and I'm just like, really? You know, I mean, literally, I never like that. So that is not where I failed, though. I did not eat a Mrs. Baird's box of apple pie, but was more aware of it. And I think probably we all have stories like that, right? So we're more aware of the leaven that's around us. And again, we can understand the connection with that, right? That's how we have to be with sin. You know, if we're focused on sin, then we're going to be much more aware of it. And if we're trying to execute our plan to remove sin out of our life, then it's top of mind and we're really trying to focus on it. But whenever we kind of get lazy or other things come to mind, that's typically when we have some problems. And that kind of leads into the next part because again, what we learned during this week is even though we're aware of it, aware of leaven, we also learned that if we let our guard down, it's very easy to slip up. And so that's what happened to me this week. So Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday were in Odessa, and I was doing an install down there, so it was just fast and furious. And on one of the days, they had a little bit of lunch, so I went in there and grabbed a few things, and this was Wednesday. And I didn't even think about this till Friday. On Friday, I was like, what did I eat for lunch down there? And I started going through my head. I was like, no, okay, I had some cheese, had olives, had this. And I was like, I had a little pastry. And I was like, what? And they had these little bitty, I can't describe it, they're little pastries, and they're kind of jelly sort of in nature. And I'm sitting there going, I think it had a graham cracker crust. So I asked Betsy, graham crackers aren't good, right? And she was like, no. I was like, well, I'm pretty sure then I ate leaven. But I was in a hurry. I was hungry, distracted. It was there. It looked good. Grabbed it, and off I went. It was still the days of unleavened bread, right? Majority of the time, whenever I was focused on that, I was okay. I didn't eat the pie in the box, but I got distracted. I was busy. I was doing other things, and then I slipped up. Well, that happens in our life all the time, doesn't it, when it comes to sin? It's when we're distracted. It's when we're not focused. It's when we're not as close to God. It's when we put ourselves in position that we're not supposed to be in. And we always think of the example of Joseph. I mean, that is the true and only example that we're supposed to follow, where he ran away. He ran away from sin. And that's the example we're supposed to follow. But we don't do that. we don't follow Joseph's example. But that's in context of what we have to do, is run away from sin. But let's go to Romans chapter 7. Turn over a page if you're still in Romans 6, Romans chapter 7, because again, talking about how if we let our guard down. To me, these are some of the most interesting verses in the Bible because the Apostle Paul writes it, and we obviously know Paul was apostle and founded so many different churches in the New Testament and was someone that we all look up to. But look what he writes. Romans 7, beginning in verse 15. It says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I want to do, that I do not do. But what I hate, that is what I do." Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh or in my body, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I want to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I don't want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." So Paul sat there and sits there and says, I know what I'm supposed to do, I know what is right to do, and yet I find myself doing the exact opposite. And so from one perspective for us, this gives us all hope, right? I mean, Paul was a human being just like we were, and we all had the same problems. But it also should give us a reason to think, wow, if it could happen to the Apostle Paul, you know, who was taught by Jesus and such a relationship with Jesus Christ, then we should be even more on guard saying, okay, if it can happen to Paul, it can definitely happen to us. And it just shows that we have to be on guard. We have to always be on our A game. Just like we are this week when it comes to leaven, that's how we have to live our life when it comes to sin. We have to be on guard. We have to be vigilant, be paying attention, not letting our guard down at all. Something else we learned during this week, I won't spend a lot of time on it because I actually talked about this several weeks ago, but we are reminded that we are different than the world during this time. Especially during this time, because yesterday was Easter, and the entire world is celebrating Easter. And you go and see on Facebook and all the posts, and it's just what the world does. And yet there's this small little group of people, and we're here today, and you know, we didn't do that, and we're observing this totally different, you know, in the world's opinion, this totally different perspective and different. You know, we're doing the holy days, and so it just, again, it reminds us that we are different. But that's good, because we need to be different, right? Because the world, as we talked about earlier, I mean, the world is a slave to sin. That's what the world knows. And they don't know any better, right? Again, it's not like we're any better than they are. They don't know anything. They're just living this life, and Satan's got them where he wants them. So we are different, though. And again, that's okay because, again, we need to be different. So let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 17. And this talks about, again, how we need to be different and how we go about that. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." So again, that's just telling us, we are not supposed to be like those in the world. We just aren't. We've been called to a different life. "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart." Verse 20, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness." And so that is what we are trying to do. That's our goal. We want to put on every day the new man. We know Jesus died for us. Those of us who've been baptized, we know that when we were baptized, the old man was buried, and we came out of the water a new man. And so we want to live in that form, in that fashion, as a new man. And so we are different than the world, but again, we're supposed to be different from the world. And again, the holy days, as we do these things, it gives us that reminder that we are to be different, and that we're to focus on that. And what is so different again about us is that, because the world, again, the world doesn't talk about sin. And I think something else that we learned during this week and as we focus is sin is serious business to God. And again, the world doesn't view it this way. You never hear sin, you know, as used as a word. The things that in this world, things that God has said is sin, you know, the world and man has said is just fine to do. I mean, again, it's like I said, we don't have time, we won't go into it, but you know, everything's just, it's just a mess. But we are to be different. we are to take it seriously. God required a death penalty because of it. Jesus had to die because of sin. And so, again, we're reminded during this time that it's important and that it's not something that we have to take it seriously. So is that the only thing, though? Is now, within a several hours, the day sun will go down and the days of unleavened bread will be over. Is that all the lessons that we have? You know, does it kind of end there? Well, I don't think so. I think there's actually some really important lessons that we can learn here in the next several hours and several days. So let's talk about that. How many of you have a plan tonight to actually go, you know, imagine some of you now will probably go ahead and order a pizza, right? 8:20, you're going to call Pizza Hut. I don't know. Maybe you'll go to get a burger. You'll head to the store tomorrow and get a loaf of bread and do a few things, right? That's going to happen. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That once the sun goes down, I mean, the days are over. And we can go back to the leaven diet lifestyle. That in itself is a very important thing for us to think about. Having leaven back in our homes, back in our diet, is going to be very easy to do. Right? It's going to be simple. It's not going to be hard to have, you know, to have a sandwich again. Hopefully those apple pies are still there. I'm going to go try to see if I find them this week. So that won't be hard. It won't be hard to do that. So again, that's something important for us, because what that shows us is that we have to even be more determined when it comes to sin. Because again, sin and leaven, right? That was the whole point that God has put this way of life, you know, as an analogy for us, that we have to remember these things. So just as easy it is for us to bring leaven back into our life, it's just as easy to bring sin into our life at any given time. It's just as easy. So, but why is it so easy? Why is it so easy? Well, it's always been for mankind, it's always been that way. It just, sin is appealing. Because in that moment in time, connect it back to the jelly donut. Right? In that moment in time, eating that jelly donut it's a good thing. Right? It tastes good. And for a little while, you feel pretty good. Then like, oh, an hour or two goes by and you feel like, I just ate a jelly donut. And your stomach starts, you know, not feeling too hot. Then you're like, in my case, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go run some extra miles because of that jelly donut now. So long term, you know, it's not the greatest, right? But short term, it's appealing. It looks good. And so again, that's sin. Short term, sin can be very positive. In the short term, sin can be very appealing. It can look like the right choice. But as we know, long term, it's not. There's effects, there's side effects. And even I think about, again, this time of year, Israel and Egypt. I mean, Israel was always, the things they would do always would seem just so silly to me. Think about it. Days after leaving Egypt, they've been there 400 years in slavery, right? Days after, they saw God do these miraculous miracles and the sea opens. And a couple days go by and they're sort of thirsty. And what's the first thing they say? Oh, let's go back to Egypt. It was so good in Egypt. We had it so good in Egypt. No, you were a slave in Egypt. You had no freedom. You were beaten. That was what Egypt. But in their minds at that time, oh, Egypt was so good. If we could just go back to Egypt, everything would be all right. And again, that's our same mentality. We're human beings just like they were, right? So our mentality can be the same. When we get distracted, when we have to make choices, sometimes we forget. No, you know, sin isn't the right choice. It may look appealing at that moment in time, but there's nothing good that comes from that. You become a slave. You become separated from God. You don't have control. And so we have to remember that. And again, I think in these next few days, as you begin to bring leaven back in, think about that. Think about how we have to stay strong when it comes to sin. And two, remember that just as on the opposite end of this, several weeks ago, remember the house didn't just get de-leavened by accident, right? Physical work went into it. Well, the same thing again, the leaven isn't going to just, we're not going to wake up tomorrow and suddenly there's a loaf of bread in the house, right? We're going to make a decision, go to the store, pick it up, buy it, bring it back in, right? So again, the sin process is the same. We don't just find ourselves, oh, you know, I didn't have any control over that. You know, I lost my temper and I didn't have any control. It just happened, right? No, there is a process to sin. Let's go to James chapter 1 as we begin to close. James chapter 1. and review again, there is a process that Satan is very good at in using to bring us to the point where we actually sin. James chapter 1 and verse 12. James 1, beginning in verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So that's the first thing. We are going to be tempted. Satan knows where our weaknesses are. He knows how he can get to us. He knows where he's got to us before. And you know, he's not going to, what's the saying, you know, you don't reinvent the wheel, right? He knows where our weaknesses are. That's where he's going to keep attacking us. It worked once, why won't it work again, right? The easiest way to get to us. But notice that the temptation itself is not the sin. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So again, we are willing accomplices in our sin. In the moment in time, it's hard, but when you're able to go back and think about it, there is many times in that process of committing sin where we could be like Joseph and turn and run away. It may be a millisecond. It may be that quick, but there's always a point in there where we could make another choice. We don't have to lose our temper. We can show more patience when the kids are being loud and toys everywhere. I'm kind of going down my own list here if you haven't figured that out, right? We cannot worry about moving families and starting new jobs and doing those things. We all have the choice at some point to be Joseph and turn and run away. And as long as we do that before we sin, then all is well. But unfortunately, many times we don't turn and run away. But we are accomplices when we do sin. It doesn't just happen. We make the choice. We have to then live up to that and go to God and repent and ask for forgiveness, which we know that He will. But it's a process, and so we have to be aware of that. Well, we've done a lot actually here in the last few weeks, if you think about it. And that's kind of the point I wanted to do is kind of go over, because we've actually covered a lot of ground. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that God is trying to teach us in these few weeks. And we've done a lot of physical things and we've done so many different things that have a lot of very serious spiritual implications for us. Over these last 7 days, while we've been eating unleavened bread, we've been demonstrating to God that we want to live by His ways. Right? That's what we want to do. We don't want to be a slave to sin anymore. We want to be a slave to Him. We want to follow His rules and His guidelines. And we know that when we observe these days and we go through all these processes, that we are admitting to God that, God, we know that we have a problem with sin, but we need Your forgiveness. We want You to help us get rid of it. You know, we want to become more like You. We want to follow in Your Son's footsteps. I mean, that's really why we do these days. That's why we're doing all these things. Again, it's not a checklist to us. It means more than that. Our hearts are involved, and we want to please God. So I started today by kind of talking a lot about sin, how we all sin, and by definition of being human, that we're all slaves to sin. But I want to close today by reminding us all that by applying all the lessons that we've learned over these last few weeks, and by asking God to help us, that we can and that we will successfully overcome all the sin that is in our life.